Welcome to the Cancer Discovery Podcast. I'm your host, Judy Kwong. Endometrial cancer is the most prevalent gynecological malignancy and the fourth most common cancer among women in Western countries. Today, I am joined by Dr. Lydia Chung from the MD Anderson Cancer Center. In the July 2011 issue of Cancer Discovery, she and her colleagues report on the characterization of genetic mutations found in endometrial cancer. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Certain pathways are recognized as important in a variety of cancers. Your analysis focused on candidate genes from the PI3K and KRAS pathways. What was the motivation for focusing in particular on these two pathways?
As you just mentioned, endometrial cancer is the most common gynecologic cancer. But unfortunately, the treatment options available for advanced endometrial cancer nowadays is still very limited with very poor outcome. The goal of this study is to identify potential targets and biomarkers for therapy against endometrial cancer. The reason why we focused on the PI3 kinase pathway because activation of this pathway is one of the most frequent abnormalities in endometrial cancers. For example, in activation of P10, which is the major negative regulator of the pathway, is very common in endometrial hyperplasia. Mouse study also showed that P10 loss could induce endometrial tumorigenesis in vivo. So these data suggested that the PI3 kinase pathway activation is a very early event in the development of the disease. The RAS signaling is another frequently deregulated pathway in endometrial cancer. It has been previously shown in some cell system that the two pathways may indeed interact and cooperate to determine functional outcomes. However, this interaction has not been investigated in endometrial cancers. We believe that characterizations of mutation in these two pathways in endometrial cancer could provide insights into tumorigenesis and reveals candidates for targeted therapies.
Let's begin with the PI3K pathway. Can you describe which identified genetic mutations were of particular interest?
Our study revealed four features of the PI3 kinase pathway mutation that are of particular interest and has not been reported before. First, we detected a very high frequency of PIK3CA mutations within the ABD regulatory domain. The PIK3CA gene encodes the P110 alpha catalytic subunits, and the domain has been suggested to be responsible for binding to the P85 regulatory subunits. These frequent mutations in the ABD domain is distinct from that observed in other cancers, in which the majority of the mutations cluster within the helical and the kinase domains. The second feature we found is the high frequencies of the mutation rates in the PIK3R1 gene. The PIK3R1 encodes the P85 alpha regulatory subunits, and it was mutated in 20% of our samples, which is higher than our previous reports in other cancer lineage. And the third features we found is the PIK3R2 gene is a very new cancer gene. The gene encodes the P85 beta regulatory subunits, and mutations were detected in 5% of endometrial cancer. Lastly, the last features is we found that mutations in different members in the PI3 kinase pathway always occur in combination. So specifically, the PIK3CA, PIK3R1, and PIK3R2 mutation coexist with heterozygous P10 mutation at the frequencies higher than expected by chance.
You identified mutations in multiple members along the PI3K pathway. What is the functional significance of these genes and their mutations?
We found that P10 protein loss is the dominant mechanism driving PI3 kinase pathway activation. More importantly, in tumors with retained P10 protein, PIK3CA, PIK3R1, or PIK3R2 mutations mimic the effect of P10 loss. These results support the functional consequences of these mutations on the PI3 kinase pathway activation and also provides an explanation why the high frequency of co-mutation observed in the samples. The data also supports our hypothesis that PI3 kinase member mutations occur selectively with P10 heterozygous mutation to compensate for the incomplete loss of P10 protein.
What is the significance of the novel oncogenic mutations you identified in the PIK3R1 and PIK3R2 genes?
We observed an increase in AKT phosphorylation by introducing these oncogenic mutations into the cells. We also revealed a novel mechanism by which the wild-type PD5-alpha regulatory subunits regulate the pathway through stabilizing the P10 protein. And one of the mutations is oncogenic by interrupting this regulation.
You also looked at KRAS mutations. What did your analysis reveal?
The KRAS mutation induced MAP kinase pathway activation as expected, but the mutation was not associated with activation of the PI3 kinase pathway. And moreover, activation of MAP kinase pathway was not seen in PI3 kinase pathway mutant tumors. These data suggested that distinct downstream signaling events are activated by the PI3 kinase pathway aberration and by the KRAS mutation in endometrial cancer. In fact, PI3 kinase pathway aberration and KRAS mutation are not mutually exclusive in our samples. This further supports the idea that the functions of these two pathways are not fully redundant.
What are the next steps in translating these findings to the clinic?
Our data suggests that manipulation or targeting the PI3 kinase and the RAS pathway could provide a promising molecular targeted therapy in endometrial cancer. Indeed, nowadays, a number of drugs that target these two pathways are currently in preclinical and clinical development in endometrial cancer. However, only a small fraction of patients showed satisfactory responses to the drugs. The genomic and the proteomic markers identified in this study would be potentially useful for predicting the outcomes. And indeed, from our preliminary data, which are also presented in this paper, we found that mutations in the PI3 kinase pathway or the RAS mutation might be able to predict responsiveness to rapamycin and to the MEK inhibitor respectively. We will have to try a wider spectrum of drugs targeting different nodes of the pathway in the cell lines and, of course, also in the xenograft models. We also have to think about co-targeting of multiple pathways to achieve higher efficiencies of the treatment. We will have to validate those genomic and protein markers we identified in the patients, and hopefully this can make personalized cancer treatment possible in the future.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Cheng, to discuss your findings.
My pleasure.
To read this and other exciting papers published in Cancer Discovery, visit us at cancerdiscovery.aacrjournals.org.